I want to thank God for giving me this privilege to come to your church once again. I want to thank my brother Isha and Sister Usha for inviting me. What a joy it is to be back here, right? The last time I met you was at your Thanksgiving of the church. What a meaningful service, right? Even this morning, it was so rich. And each time I leave from here, I've learned something new here, right? God bless this church. The theme given to me is like taking coal to Newcastle. It's about God's Word, reading God's Word, having a fellowship with God. It's called Quiet Time Devotion, right? I'm sure all of you must be very, very thorough with it, actually. So I'm going to once again try and do just a recap of Quiet Time. Billy Graham and Bill Bright, one of the great stalwarts, they would moan and cry because they used to keep watching theological colleges passing out all these students and worried whether they are doing their devotions every day, because that matters a lot. Right? That matters a lot, right? So shall we just look to the Lord in prayer even as I try and speak to you from God's mighty word. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you are here in your might, in your majesty. God, you're a God who communicates, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, even me, Lord God. Cover this place by your very presence and let the name of Jesus be exalted here. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray.
Amen. Right.
The Bible, right? The Bible we're talking about, right? What's the meaning of the word Bible? I guess you know it. It's just a collection of books. Nothing spiritual. It's a collection of books, right? And it comes from a Greek word called Biblia. Like, that's about it. What's the meaning of the word testament? Akka, akka, tell me. Somebody will run to you one day. Akka, akka, anana. What's the meaning of testament? How many testaments are there? So probably we'll just try and keep a Greek. The word testament means covenant, right? A covenant between God and man. Who was there at your wedding? Who was the third person at your wedding day when you took your promise? That was Jesus. That's a covenant and not an agreement, right? He made a covenant and said, no more rains, right? And so it's not an agreement, but it's a covenant, right? How many books are there? You all of us know that. 66 books, and it is 39 plus 27 books, right? And it's complete. It's complete, right? You can't add, you can't subtract. How many authors contributed towards the Bible? 40 different authors. Were they all part of an international writers club? Were they all part of the International Writers Club all over the world? They used to meet about 10 times a year. No. It is amazing. It's just amazing. There were kings, there were peasants, philosophers, officials, intellectuals, poets, shepherds, statesmen, scholars, and others. You'll never believe. Moses was a political leader. Daniel was a prime minister. Joshua was a military general. Luke was a doctor. Peter was a அம்மா மீன் வந்திருக்கு அம்மா மீன் தட்ஸ் பீட்டர் சாலமன் அ கிங் ஏமோஸ் வாஸ் அ ஷெப்பர்ட் ஜஸ்ட் அ ஷெப்பர்ட் மேத்யூ வாஸ் அ டாக்ஸ் கலெக்டர் நேமாய் வாஸ் அ கப் பேரர் அண்ட் பால் வாஸ் அ ராபாய் லுக் அட் த பேண்ட்வித் லுக் அட் த பேண்ட்வித் ஆஃப் பீப்புள் ரைட் ஆல் ஓவர் ரைட் அண்ட் இட் சேஸ் த 66 books of the Bible on the other hand weave a unified message from Genesis to Revelation. No contradictions. It's an amazing book, right? How many years did it take to write the Bible? 200, 300? 1,400 to 1,600 years. So what's the beauty of that? Just look at this. It says, just check it out. The Bible required 16 centuries to write it, and the first writer died 1,450 years before the last writer was born. They never met each other. But look at the thread, look at the unity. It's amazing, right? And that's why I love the Bible, right? It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Who's the real author of the Bible? Peter? Timothy? Revelation? A guy called Revelation? God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about two particular verses. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, God breathed. This Bible that we have is God breathed. Secondly, it says, moved by the Holy Spirit. He moved people, that means what? Actually, it was dual authorship. Matthew wrote from his angle, Mark wrote from his angle, Luke wrote from this angle, John 90 years later write from this angle. If it was one author, what will he say? What will the world say today? Hey, Allah, cut paste. Imagine one person writing about all that. So many people writing, which means no contradictions, right? That's why we have so many, right? Can I add anything to the scripture? Can I add anything? Can I contextualize truth? Can I redefine marriage? Just check your verse. Revelation 22:18-19. Just we check one verse, Revelation. Just show this verse to them. 22:12, 18, and 19, right? 18 and 19 says, I warn everyone who hears the word of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to them the plagues described in the Bible. It's an awesome warning, right? And verse 19, look at the other thing. And if anyone takes away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share of the tree of life. There's a warning here. You can't add. You can't cut and paste, right? You can't cut it off. I don't like this. I want more wives, so cut it off. That part of the Bible, cut it off. People are trying to do that. In fact, they've printed a Bible like that. My brother, my sister, and guys, you know the beauty of this Bible, the production, the preservation, the common thread, the classless in the reader, whether you're a billionaire or a beggar, whether you're a lackey or a leper, it appeals to you amazingly, God's word, right? It's contemporary, Chosen. What is that movie right now in America that's based there, The Chosen? I think it's coming to Bombay. Even today, it's one of the biggest sellers, that movie. Because the Bible is so contemporary. The best prose and poetry, literature, Milton. Painting, Raphael. Sculpture, of course, you know, Michelangelo. Right, it's so correct. I think one of my daughter-in-law's grandmother was studying Job for her literature. I think some of you must remember, your parents or grandparents. Literature was the book of Job. It's a bestseller, right? My brother, my sister, Christ. The thing is that, how do we connect with God every day? Right? You check your phone, right? Is it? Today, AI is there. Even messages, I believe, AI. Youth messages, same thing, AI. Sunday school messages, again, AI gives you. Zero inspiration. How do I connect with God is the biggest problem. When you read testimonies, people are connecting with God. They have some trumpets, they see angels, they see light, and you keep wondering, oh, my quality of my Christianity or my faith is low. No! You open the Bible, God speaks to you. As simple as that. You open God's word, God speaks to you afresh every day. Every day. It's called quiet time devotions. Right? Quiet time devotion is, firstly, you must have a hunger for God's word. You want a hunger to rise up in your company, right? Who doesn't have these days? Ambition to rise up. I want to be at the top, bro. Right? You have a hunger. You need to have a hunger for God's word. God, I want to know, Lord. I want to know you, Lord God. I want to know you, Father. So there are a couple of things, proper time, a proper preparation, a proper place, a proper tools, and proper procedure. Very simple. You know all this yourself. You know it amazingly. You are great organizers, right? Proper time, is it morning or evening? The psalmist says in Psalm 5 verse 3, says, in the morning will I direct my prayers unto thee, O Lord. It's difficult. Some of us are working at night today. Some of us are working. I know what it is to be a doctor. I know what it is to be a nurse. I know what it is to be in the IT company. My son was working there till 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, you pick your own time. Stick to it. And ask God. I said, God, I want some time with you, Lord. God, please make the time. God will give you. Right? Keep your time, okay? And then, proper preparation. Tell God, Lord, I want to wake up. That doctor, there was a doctor in CMC, a friend of mine, right? And it says he worked in Odinsatram. And he wanted to get up at 4:30 in the morning and put an alarm. 4:30 in the morning, God will wake him up. But then he'd get up at 4:15. He said, I couldn't wait to meet God. Right? If you don't prepare yourself in the morning, you're going to have visions and dreams like this. You're going to sleep off. Right? Get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee. Brush. Keep yourself bright. Right? And then read God's word, right? Proper preparation, right? Tell the Lord a previous day, Lord, and some of you have a difficulty of waking up, give that alarm clock to the Lord. I promise you, He'll wake you up. You'll be shocked. He will wake you up, whatever time you ask Him, right? Proper place. You have your special place, right? You have your special place. But then when did Jesus get up? When did Jesus get up? Just now, I think Sister read that in Matthew. Right? I was amazed. Very early in the morning, Jesus, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left his house, and went off to a solitary place, and he prayed. Here is the system that Jesus used. But in a flat, can you get up and go? Context. There you can, of course. You can tell the Lord, Lord, it's not possible now. You stay in a flat. Right? But you have your corners. You have your favorite chair. You have your favorite chair at home, quietly. And why early? Before the brats get up, these kids get up. Before the traffic starts outside. It makes sense, early morning. It's quiet. Early morning, it's so nice. You know your favorite chair. Tell the Lord, go there, pick up your coffee, go and sit down there every day, right? And what's the proper tools that we have? Very easy, right? If you mean business with God, jot down the notes. You'll be amazed how God, when He speaks to you, it matches the day. It's not being one like, you know, you just do one small ritual in the morning and it's done in the morning. Not a ritual. It matches with your day. You'll be amazed. He said, Lord, are you speaking to me? Right? Yesterday, my quiet time was Gethsemane. And then we spoke here today of don't take Gethsemane for granted. So the battle was won at Gethsemane before the cross. Don't forget Gethsemane was the chorus. I was amazed. Right? Jot down your notes. He's speaking to you. God said, my sweetheart, I'm talking to you. Listen to me. He's actually speaking to you. Right? And then what's the proper procedure? After you read, quiet in your heart. And before you read, have your quiet time. Don't touch the cell phone. That's why I tell medical students. I tell the medical student whenever I work, I say, when you get up in the morning, brush your teeth, have a coffee, don't pick up your cell phone. Nothing happens. I promise you, nothing will happen. I'm not going to say that it's a very religious thing, right? You don't touch it at all. If you have to make calls, praise God, do it. But as a discipline, I think the Kerala CMF, they decided not, the medical students and doctors, young doctors decided not to touch the cell phones, right? It will disturb you, right? So keep your heart still, get still before Him and listen to Him, right? And then get into the Word of God and ask questions, right? God has said, come, let's reason together, says the Lord. Imagine what guts God is saying. Come, let's have a chat. Come, ask questions. Let's reason together, says the Lord, right? So I want to teach you a system called, very simple, you already got note, Space PT. Space PT is what I learned from Thomas Dodd, Hebron School principal. He was Nandita's mentor right in the beginning and he took for us while we were in Mysore. His space PT is like this. Is there a sin to confess? Very simple. You read the Bible and say, Lord, are you talking to some sin in my life? Because you can't hide from God. Is there a promise to claim for the day? Is there a error to avoid? Am I doing something wrong? Am I shouting at my child and she's not rebelling? She's rebelling. And Lord, probably you're asking me to be gentle today. Is there an error to avoid? Is there a command to obey? Is there an example to follow? Is there a praise point and is there a thank, something I can thank God for? Like probably you, God might answer you once, one of them or two of them or all of them, or sometimes just nothing at all. Leviticus, so numbers, so many vessels and so many cups and so many whatever, all that. What's God trying to tell you? Are you keeping a clean house? Is everything in place? Right? Are you orderly in your life? It may not be a promise. It may not be a error. It may not be a command. Right? But God constantly communicates with you. Right? So ask these questions. Lord, is there a sin to confess? Right? Is there a sin? It could be boasting. Probably you've been boasting a lot. You've been priding. Somewhere you'll say, my dad had so much of land. And then when my grandfather was in England, it's not connected actually. But then what are you doing? You're dropping bricks, right? You are dropping those things. Don't do it, right? Envy. I've got only one flat. My friend has got three flats. My friend's children, they're wearing branded clothes. It would be as silly as that. But it could bug you. Do envy people. No, you can't be everybody. Gluttony, right? Is that a sin or not? You'll be amazed what Philippians says. Their God is their stomachs. And today we have a very sophisticated word called foodie da. Swiggy. Very convenient. And the kind of money we spend, you want to eat half of that. It's very easy. Today you just want to try out a new restaurant. It's a passion. And God said, watch out, you're wasting. You don't need to be so crazy about it, right? And then, of course, adultery. I don't need to tell you this is a demon. I don't need to tell you that this is a demon. You can do it very quietly. And the devil knows what you like. And nobody, you look like an innocent angel actually. You'll appear like an angel, but you know exactly what the devil is up to. Please be careful about adultery, right? That's all sin in confess, right? Promise to claim. You know, these promises, I will deliver you that day. And says, Lord, thank you. Oh, it will be, Lord. Ask anything. And God said, he'll answer. Thank you, Lord, right? I will fight for you. I'm going to speak to my boss and he's very angry with me. And God said that morning, day, don't worry. The Lord will fight for you. You are innocent, right? Oh, I will heal you. You're worried about your sickness, your BP, your sugar. It's not coming down. And you read that verse in the morning, God says, I shall heal you, right? And God has spoken to you. Christ will strengthen you, right? And I will answer you, right? Could be any of these things, right? Or avoid. Error to avoid. E is error to avoid. Are you a troublemaker? Are you a guy who's used to bad words? I don't think so. Praise God, we've been taught very early. I was taught very early not to spit by dad and mom. Till today, I've never done it. Thank God. But bad language, people think that you impress girls. I used to remember in school, you want to impress girls? Say bad words. Nah, the girls would say, see, no. Right? Foolish question. Your wife is trying to tell you about faith and you're asking those difficult and difficult and difficult questions. And God is telling you, shh. Enough. You don't need to ask those questions. Believe that daddy, what mommy made chapati, do you question her? Did you put poison, mommy? You trust her. You have simple faith. That's what God is saying. Trust me, I have a relationship with you, son. I know you. I want to share with you. Like brother share, there's no mystery. God wants to share a secret. There's no mystery, right? Are you asking foolish questions? Probably you're one person, one outside and another person inside. Right? Hey, this guy is such an angel. You ask his wife. I miss him at home. Be authentic. The way that God is telling you, don't let there be a dichotomy of how you behave. Be authentic. Never mind if you cry. Boys cry. It's very sad, but they really need to cry. They really need to break down sometimes, right? Be authentic. Be authentic if the Lord spoke to you. David sinned. What does David sin is? While everybody went to war, what is the king doing? Chumma, doing nothing. When the chumma time is when the devil fills up your agenda. You're doing nothing, looking around. God filled up. And there was Bathsheba. And what a way he falls. My brother, my sister in Christ. Is it a command to obey? Are you an angry person? Not me, my dad also. My grandfather broke the piano in the church. Some of them are proud that you are very angry people. They are short-tempered. I want to tell you, you need treatment. Please go meet a counselor. You will make a mess of your relationship. Anger, God says, in your anger, what happens? You do? You use a harsh word. And you didn't want to do it, right? And God told you that morning, don't be an angry person, don't be anxious. I'm always worried about my children. You need to have a graph. Mothers have a graph. Every day one graph. And they get so worried. You didn't have milk. Be complex. Not enough. I know a mother, a doctor she is. When the child went for picnic, she'll take her husband at 12:30 or 1 o'clock to go and check if the child's all right. Paranoid you go, and God saying, relax. Who carries the heavier side of our burden, as the Bible say? He carries the heavier side. Relax, right? Or be content. Don't keep comparing. It's not worth it. Holy, you're a freak in your school, in your college, in your place of work. Praise God. Continue to be that. Be holy. Be different. Right? Whatever the Bible tells you, commands you, control your tongue. Why does God say that? How many times have you said, me and my big mouth? Why did I ever say it? Me and my big mouth, why did I ever say? What is James trying to tell us in chapter 3 verse 6? The tongue can operate independently. Without your knowledge, the tongue, you say, why did I say it? To my mother-in-law, I should never have told her that. Finish. How many times you have regretted? That's because you can operate independently. That morning, God is telling you, you've been too harsh. Soften down, right? Our example to follow, quickly I'm finishing, David. Ruth, what about Ruth? When Boaz fell for her upside down, all the blood vessels became heart-shaped, including white cells and platelets. Then come here and have whatever you're hungry. I got distilled water for you if you're thirsty. What does she say? Why have I found favor? My master, I am a foreigner. I am a Moabite. I'm not a Jewish. How sweetly she says, please come down. I'm a foreigner. You can't touch me. Which girl say that? You say, Pakla. Let's play it and see where it'll go. She had a head on her shoulders, right? So probably, right, we can learn from Noah, we can learn from Joseph, we can learn from Daniel's example, Caleb. How old was he when he asked for the Hebron? 85 years. Some of us are pretty old, don't give up. God still has a plan for you that day, right? Example, Joseph, of course. You have a praise point. What's praise? I enjoy the praise here because it's the attributes of God. It's not about you getting a green card. It's not about you getting a green card and FD maturing. That is thanksgiving. Praising is God for his loving and justice, that he is the king, that he is the rock of salvation, that he is the maker of the heaven and the earth. He is great and awesome. These are words of praise. He is just, he is holy, he is sovereign, he is invisible. He is awesome, he is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent God. You praise him for who he is. It's a very romantic time, actually it is. The closest is romantic time. Lord, I really appreciate you. Father, I love you for who you are, Lord. Let's pray. What is thanksgiving is? My father got healed, God provided a house, my sister got married, God saved me from an accident. These are thanksgiving. I got a PG seat. I did my exams well. These are thanksgiving. I found a good friend in college. My bike got punctured and I looked around. There was a puncture shop there. That's a miracle. My brother, my sister, and God can amaze you. Right? We didn't have a house. Right? And then we had to leave the house. Nandita's friend came back tonight. She keeps coming from abroad. She stayed with us and she saw. She said, wait a minute. She told her husband, come down. And they purchased a house for 1 crore, 11 lakhs. And gave it to her, key to us, and said, pay whatever EMFI pays you. Lord, are you real, Lord? Do I ever doubt that? God can do amazing things, but don't forget to thank God. Don't forget to thank God. You got a Maruti 800, thank God for Maruti 800. Don't wait for a BMW. Thank God for whatever you have, right? Brother, so there are other one called, short step called, the other thing is, but always, since God has spoken to you, what do you do? Jot down a thought or two. Jot down a thought or two. You'll get into a practice. Please do that, right? Best of people in the world. Dr. Paul Brand was a man who loved the Lord, right? Paul Brand, right? And also, don't forget to have a click. Accountability, and said, hey, morning, what is your quiet time thought? Hey, how's your quiet time? Somebody calls you and said, finish your quiet time? And we are part of the navigators. Even they are abroad, they'll ask you, Dave, how's your quiet time this morning? It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful salutation, like good morning. The next question is, what did the Lord speak to you? And his dad was in the hospital, in Kalyani Hospital. Comes a doctor, the surgeon said, forget his name, Tom, what did the Lord speak to you this morning? First question, that's a good question to ask. What did the Lord speak to you? Try it. Because if you mean business with God, God will be first in your life, right? And then, what are the excuses? Any excuses? Jesus is the bread of life so that bakers can understand. Jesus was the water of life because plumbers can understand. Jesus was the light of the world so that electricians can understand. Jesus is the son of righteousness because astronomers can understand. Jesus is the hidden treasure because bankers can understand. Jesus is a physician, great physician because doctors and nurses can understand. Jesus is a good teacher because the educators can understand. Jesus is the lily of the valley so that florists can understand, right? And Jesus is the rock of ages, because then the geologist can understand. Jesus is the true wine so that horticulturists can understand. Look at that. Look at the variety, right? Jesus is the righteous one so that the judges can understand. Jesus is the pearl of great price because the jewelers can understand, right? Who are the people who contributed towards building the temple wall during Nehemiah's time? Perfume makers. Don't think they are all business people and, you know, they are not of God. No, jewelers can understand. Jesus is the wisdom so that philosophers can understand. Jesus is the word so that Bollywood and Hollywood will understand. Actors will understand. Jesus is the master because then the workers, the servants and all of us will understand. Jesus is the King of Kings so that royalty will understand. Jesus is the way so that traffic wardens can understand. Jesus is the truth so that politicians will understand. Jesus is the life so that biologists can understand. Jesus is the resurrection so that the funeral directors can understand. It's a big thing abroad. In Africa, they go on a celebration and a purchase. Jesus is the cornerstone. Yes, church, so that all you architects can understand. Jesus is the good shepherd so that farmers can understand. Alpha, the Omega, so that the scientists can understand. So is there an excuse to say, no, God can't speak to me? Don't think small kids, don't leave home without reading or praying. Or evening, ask dad and mom for a Bible study, children. I think make it a fun time. Don't make it awesome and make it frightening for children. I remember my son and my daughter-in-law, they have a quiet time every day with the children in the evening. And they have something called watch a highlight for the day, watch a low light for the day. So when it came to my highlight, I said it, but the minute I said low lights, the lights went off. So we all burst laughing. Never mind. Make it an exciting time, right? Children also, teach them at a very young age. Being a Sunday school teacher, I want to tell you what to teach them. They'll never forget. My daddy told me, my mommy told me to do it. I've seen my mommy pray. I've seen my daddy pray. Those are images that will be etched in their lives, right? So this is my quiet time book that I keep sending to some of my friends. I keep bugging, I think Esau. I mean, yesterday I wrote about Gethsemane, and this morning I come here, God connects. He said, don't forget Gethsemane, right? It's a small little book that I write, right? It's getting finished shortly. Oh, my last slide is, how did Jesus confront the devil? 40 days and 40 nights. How did Jesus confront the devil?
His word.
Think about it. Did he do a miracle? Did he bring a big fire down? Did he do a explosion, earthquake? What did he do? He just used the word, it is written. It is written. When you study God's word, it's like vaccine. It's like inoculation. COVID vaccine, right? In the COVID vaccine, if you've taken a vaccine, if COVID attacks you, it doesn't affect you at all. That's exactly what happened when you study God's word. And you study God's word. So my challenge this morning is probably you already are doing about it, doing it. But in a world where the devil is keeping us busy, one thing is knocking off his time, right? And God is saying, could you spend some time with me? So we bow our heads. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you know, God, when you speak so clearly, Lord. We give you all the thanks even now for your word, living word, Lord. I don't know how long we'll have it in India, Lord. But before, Lord God, anything happens, help us to study God's word. I want to thank you, Lord God, for your living word that you've given us. In Jesus' precious name I pray.
Amen.